Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. Many of you, this is your first time to see me. Anybody? All right. Well, glad to see y'all this morning. Rest of you, you know what to expect. Amen. Yeah. It is good to be here this morning. Appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate the opportunity to be anywhere to preach the Lord's word.
Amen.
Amen. And I trust and hope and pray that something will be said and done this week will be a blessing to you.
Amen.
I'll tell you a couple of things. You may say, well, that's five services. You know what? Wednesday night will be here before we know it. And it'll be quick. And I'm going to remind you of this Wednesday night, probably. I told you this would be quick. So what we do, we better do it for the Lord today. Amen. And, My good-looking wife is with me. That is Mary Ann. I tell everybody I left the ugly one at home and brought the good-looking one. But she goes with me most everywhere I go, and I appreciate that. Very quickly, I will tell you three things that I do. Number one, I preach. Now, this is three things that I preach. I preach about the Lord. I preach about the Bible. And I preach about 45 minutes. So hang with me. If I get in a hurry, it's about 45 minutes. If I take my time, it's about 45 minutes. But I'll try to always try to do this. My prayer is, Lord, let me get through preaching before they get through listening. So I will try to do that. I would ask you this morning to take your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, starting with the 34th verse. 1 Samuel 17, starting with the 34th verse. And I will ask you to do this through the week. I'll ask you to stand in honor and respect to the reading of the text scripture. 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse 34, and I'm going to read through verse 37. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, the Lord that hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. I would ask you to whisper a prayer for me this morning as I try to bring this text out of that passage of Scripture. And there came a lion and a bear. Now that's what I want to preach on this morning. And there came a lion and a bear. Father, I come to you, Lord, seeking your will and your way upon my life today, Lord. I pray, Father, in these next few moments, God, that you would anoint me afresh and anew, God, to do what I know you've called me to do in life, Lord, to preach this blessed gospel. I pray, Father, you would anoint us as listeners that we might hear. And then, Lord, after we have heard, that we become doers of your word, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would begin a work this morning, God, that would stir deep, Lord, into the lives of these people who make up New Prospect Baptist Church, Lord. Father, I don't know the needs of these people, but I know that you do, Lord. And Father, I don't know what the combination is for revival, but God, I know that you do. And I pray, Father, that you'd move upon these people. Use me, Lord. Now, Lord, if there be anybody in this place today, Lord, that doesn't know you and the free pardon of sin, I pray the day would be the day they would accept you, Lord, as their personal Savior. God, perhaps those who may have grown cold and indifferent in their walk, or Lord, maybe those who've got more questions than they have answers, God, I pray you'd speak to their hearts today, Lord. God, whatever we need in this place, I pray you'd grant it, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now I know that you recognize this story as the story of David and Goliath, a portion of it. As you read this story, if you're not careful, you'll miss something. Now usually when we're reading this story, we're so focused on David killing the giant Goliath that we miss perhaps the most important part of the story. So what is it, you ask? And I'm glad you asked that question. I couldn't answer it if you hadn't have asked it. You didn't even know you asked it, did you?
Amen.
But as David, now listen, David is a man that the Bible said was God's anointed. Amen.
Amen.
Also, the Bible said that he was what? A man after God's own heart. Amen. As he was minding his own business, watching his sheep, the dumbest lion and the dumbest bear in the world made the foolish mistake of trying to steal one of his sheep for supper. It would be their last mistake. Why? Because as Jerry Clower would say, David killed them graveyard dead.
Amen.
He killed them. And now there are three things we dare not miss from this story. Now, I made the emphasis that David was God's anointed and that he was a man after God's own heart for a purpose. And that reason was so that I might tell you, number one, that trials come to each of us, even God's anointed.
Amen.
None of us are strangers to the lions and bears of troubles and trials in our lives. Number two, the lions and bears of troubles and trials are God's blessings and opportunities in disguise.
Amen.
Often, the thing that strikes the deepest fears within us is the thing that God is going to use in our life to give us the greatest victory that we've ever known.
Amen.
And to give us the greatest strength. Number three, the lion and the bear prepared David for his greatest moment of triumph. Now listen to this. Had there not come a lion and a bear, then write Goliath off because it's not going to happen. But because the lion and the bear, the troubles and the trials had come into his life. When he stood before Goliath, he literally said in his mind, I'm sure, boy, you ain't no big deal. Because I've already slew a lion and a bear, and you're just an uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the armies of the living God. You ain't going to be nothing but toast in about 2 minutes.
Amen.
Now that's the Aaron version of the Bible. You won't find that quoted like that. But you know, I used to preach, Brother Perry. I used to preach, and I would laugh about it when I would preach, when I'd get on David and Goliath, because the Bible said that David went down to the brook, and he picked out 5 smooth stones.
Amen.
And I used to make a joke about that, and somebody would say, why did he get 5? And I would jokingly say, because Goliath had 4 brothers, and he had a rock for every one of them. But you know what? I was real surprised one day, brother, when I was doing a study on giants. And guess what I discovered? Goliath had 4 brothers.
Amen.
He had a rock for every one of them. He wasn't backing up, honey. He was there to do God's work. Now, I make no premise to know the spiritual condition of anybody in this congregation today. But it would be my guess that somebody can relate to what I'm saying. You know you're saved. You know that you're God's anointed. You know that you were doing what God instructed you to do. You were minding your own business. You weren't hurting a soul. And boom, there came a lion and a bear into your life. Now, I don't know what those lions or bears are named. They could be named anything. Some of them may be named divorce. Some of them may be named financial problems or, oh Lord, y'all don't never have this down here in this part of the state, but church problems could be the name of it. Well, y'all don't never have, this is all just up in Troop County where I'm from, right? Where you have church, y'all don't have that down here. Maybe they could be named medical problems or depression or job problems. I don't know what they are, but man, let there be no mistake. Let there be no mistake. The lions and the bears come into our lives.
Amen.
None of us are exempt. When someone asked the great preacher of yesteryear, George Mueller, the best way to have strong faith, listen to Mueller's reply. He said, the only way to know strong faith is to endure great trials. I have learned my faith by standing firm through severe testings. The only way we can know great faith is when those lions and bears come into our lives and we see God work a work that overcomes them. There's an old song, I don't know all the lyrics to it, but it says something like this. The title of it is Through It All. It said, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the trials He's brought me through. And I like this part. It said, for if I never had a problem, then I wouldn't know that God could solve them. Amen. And it's because we have problems, troubles, and trials in our life that we know that God is real.
Amen.
Amen. We got to all fight our own battles. Your lions and bears may be totally different than mine. You know what? I guarantee you that if we could spiritually look at each other, that we could see the scratch marks and the bite marks and the claw marks and the scars of where we've done battle with those lions and bears. But bless God, we're still here. Amen. We're still fighting the fight. Oh my goodness. The lions and bears come into all of our camps. But I'm here to remind you today and encourage you that regardless of the name of your bear, if you will stand and fight the good fight of faith, they are merely God's blessings in disguise.
Amen.
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 Now I've got three words of encouragement that the Lord has given and I'm going to share with you today. Number one is this. No matter how dry, barren, and God-forsaken your circumstances may appear, number one, God always sends streams in your desert places.
Amen.
He always does it. And number two, regardless of how insignificant you may feel, you are, if you're saved, you are a shaft or an arrow in God's quiver. And number three, no matter how sad your situation may appear, God always sends songs in the storms.
Amen.
Now I want to look at point number one, streams in the desert. And I'm going to read two verses of scripture to you. It's Joshua 15, 18 and 19. And it says, and it came to pass when she came unto him that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she alighted from off her ass, and Caleb said, what wouldest thou? And she said, give me a blessing, for that thou hast set me in the land of the south. Give me also springs of water. Now listen to this. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now let me explain to you what I've just read, this whole situation. Caleb, y'all remember Joshua and Caleb? Caleb has just given his daughter, Askar, the inheritance of the south land. Now, the south land is a desert land. And she responds, she asks her father, because it's a desert land, she asks him to give her a land that's got some springs on it. He responds by giving her, the Bible says, the upper springs and the lower springs. How many of you know God always exceeds your expectations?
Amen.
Amen. Now the term springs indicates that he did not give her a stagnant pool.
Amen.
Now that needs amen right there. He gave her streams in her desert. Now those streams would flow through the hottest summers and the lowest places. They flow through the difficult places. places, the desert places, and the lonely places. They even flow through the ordinary places. Abraham found those streams among the hills of Canaan. Moses found them in the rocks of Midian. David found them among the ashes of Ziklag, where his property was gone and his family had been taken captive. And although his men were talking about stoning him, David found strength in the Lord his God. Amen. Isaiah found them in the terrible days when King Sennacherib of Assyria invaded Judah, and his faith could sing, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is in her, she will not fail." In the last part of Psalms 87:7, David declared, "A-double-L, all of my fountains or streams are in thee." And he was talking to God. Let me tell you something. I don't know what your dry place may be. I don't know what your problem may be. I don't know what your lion or your bear may be. But I do know this. As you walk through the dry desert places of this life, look around, for God always sends streams in the desert. He'll send joy in the midst of sorrow. He'll send a way where there is no way. When everything looks despondent and bleak and no hope, God will make a way.
Amen.
But now let me tell you something. Sometimes God uses us to be a stream in somebody else's desert.
Amen.
It ain't all about getting, folks. Sometimes it's about giving.
Amen.
Let me tell y'all a story that happened to Mary Ann and I. In November, we went to the Georgia Baptist Convention, which was held up by the airport in Atlanta, Georgia. And we were there on a Sunday afternoon for the pre-rally. And we got out about 9:30 at night and headed back to our motel. And we were hungry. Now, I didn't know much about Atlanta, still don't. And in that particular area, we began to look for a well-known restaurant that we could have supper at. We looked for a Ruby Tuesday or a Chili's or a Outback Steakhouse or some well-known name brand. And the only thing we could find was a Waffle House. Now look at me and you'll understand what I'm about to say. I have no problems with a Waffle House. I have had many a good meal in a Waffle House. Can I get amen right there?
Amen.
Yeah, I have no problem with a Waffle House. But I looked at her and I said, "Well, what do you think? You game?" She said, "Well, yeah, let's try it." So we walked into this Waffle House and everything looked normal. So we sat down at a table and there was one little waitress behind the counter. Now there's folks around us eating, had their meal, everything looked perfectly normal. And all of a sudden this little lady spoke up. Now I used bad English, she used a whole lot worse English. She said like this, just shouted across the restaurant. Said, "We ain't got no waitresses." And my wife looked at her and said, "Excuse me, do you mean you don't have any waitresses for this section? Do we need to move over there? Or do you not have any waitresses, period?" She shouted it out again. She said, "We ain't got no waitresses." Said, "I work the second shift. I'm off the clock. Third shift hadn't come in yet. I'm about to leave, and I suggest you do the same thing." We got up, walked out of the Waffle House, Brother Wainwright, and it occurred to me, I just got kicked out of a Waffle House. And as we were, oh, this story gets better. As we were walking across the parking lot, a little gentleman come running up to her, and evidently he was one of the regulars at that particular Waffle House. And he grabbed my wife by the arm, began to pat on her, and he was just all tore up. And he said, ma'am, said, "They can't do that to you." And she said, "Oh, sir, it's all right." She said, "No," he said, "No, they can't do that to you." Said, "We've sat in there and we've watched her do 7 customers like that. And we've got the 1-800 Waffle House number and we're going to call and report her." Okay. I got in the truck and she did too. And I looked at her and she looked at me and we just both busted out laughing. And I asked her, I said, "Who was he? The Waffle House police?" She said, "I guess so." But let me tell you something. In that process, he had told her about another Waffle House about 3 miles up the road. Well, I looked at her and I said, well, we're into this adventure now. I said, are you game? She said, oh, yeah, I'm game. Let's go. So we went 3 miles up the road to the next Waffle House. Stuff happens to me that don't happen to ordinary folks. But listen, we walked in. Now, this one was totally different. It was clean, well lit, looked inviting. We walked in. Little waitress met us at the door, sat us. She was polite, nice, and she was just as good as she could be. And was totally horrified of the other experience we just had. There's very few folks in that Waffle House. And that girl came, she took our order, and I told my wife, when she was taking the order, I said, something different about this girl. She's about 25 or 35, somewhere in that neighborhood. I said, this girl's a Christian. And she came back to the table, and I asked her, I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? She said, oh, yes, sir. I said, I've known him for a while. I said, I'm a child of God. Now, let me tell you, there wasn't but just a few folks in there. And what happened after that? I told her, I said, well, I'm a preacher. And after I said that, what happened for the next 45 minutes was purely magical. I cannot put into words what happened. But that she, there was a little bar thing, not a bar, but a wall thing by where we were sitting in the booth. And she came, we were her only customers. And she just leaned up on that little piece of wood. And for the next 45 minutes, she just poured her life out to us. She took my wife and I into her world. And I felt like I knew more about her than I did some of my children when I left there 45 minutes later. It was a God thing. But she began to tell me, now this is what she told me. She said, I was raised all my life in church. She said, but I began to rebel. And she said, I literally went from the East Coast of the United States to the West Coast seeking peace and joy in my life. Now, this is her words. She said, I thought I had found my life calling when I took a job as a bartender in Atlanta. And I just thought to myself, my Lord, how sad. But she went on. Now, she said, as I was bartending, folks would come in and I'd fix their drinks. And said in casual conversation, they would say, do you know where I can score this drug or that drug? She said, I never pushed drugs. I never sold drugs. And all I did, if they asked me, I told them. I'd say, yeah, see so-and-so over there, so-and-so over there. She said, I had no clue that that was a federal offense. But she said, I got caught in a drug sting. And because of that drug sting, for what I was doing, they prosecuted me, and she said, I spent 7 years in a woman's federal penitentiary in Florida. But you know what? She never looked sad, Brother Wayne, right? She never blamed anybody. She never pointed a finger. Smile came across her face, and then she said this. And she said, I thank God I got caught and sent to that woman's federal penitentiary. She said, because there is where I found Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And she said, God has changed me. And she said, he's given me this job. She'd only been out for 6 months or so. She said, God's given me this job. And she said, my life has changed. And she said, I have found peace.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something. That would have been a wonderful story if it had ended right there. But it went a little further. About 45 minutes later, we were through eating. She had given us the ticket. And God began to deal with my heart. Now, men, if there's a man in the house, you can say amen here in just a moment. You'll know when. Don't you hate it when God knows that you've got money stashed away that your wife don't know you got?
Amen.
Amen. I had $100 bill stashed in my little mad money area, my billfold. My wife didn't know I had. And I'm sitting there, Brother Perry, and all of a sudden God begins to talk to me. And he said, son, said that waitress you're talking to is one of my children. And said, I want you to give her that $100 bill for a tip.
Amen.
I wish I could tell y'all I was real spiritual when God told me that. But you know my first answer? No, no, I'm not going to do it.
Amen.
And God began to talk a little further. He said, oh, you didn't understand me, son. He said, I want you to give her that $100 bill. I said, God, you didn't understand me. I said, no. He said, son, let me tell you one more time. He said, either you can give it to her or I'm going to slap you across this Waffle House and take it from you, one or the other, but she's going to get it. And Brother Perry, I'm sitting there arguing with God.
Amen.
Wish I was spiritual, but I wasn't. And my darling little wife was sitting across the table, and she was in her own little world, and she, little perky self, she spoke up and said, "You ready to go?" And I looked at her and said, "Yeah!" And I just kept sitting. A few minutes later, she perked up again, piped up, and said, "You gonna leave this little girl a tip?" And I said, "Yes, I am!" And I just kept sitting because me and God were still arguing.
Amen.
And about this time, she began to notice something was going on, and she looked at me and kind of cocked her head and said, "What is going on with you?"
Amen.
I began to reach in my pocket, and I said, "You want to make this little girl's night?" And she said, "Well, I don't know. What are you talking about?" "But, Perry, you can't depend on them in a crunch." You can't. I knew that my fiscally tight wife squeaks when she walks. When I showed her that $100 bill, she would say, "You have lost your ever-loving mind." And I could then say, "You're right," and God would blame it on her, and I'd get to keep my $100 bill, and we could go out. Can't depend on them. I reached in there and I pulled that $100 bill out. I said, "You won't give that to her?" And she grinned at me and she said, "Yeah, let's do it." I said, "Doggone it." So I went to pay the bill and I took a $20 bill. I want you to hear me say that. And paid for my meal. I didn't shortchange her. And as she gave me the change back, I took that $100 bill and I put it in her hand. And I held it and I said, "Now you let me talk to you just a minute." I said, "I want you to know something." I said, "You have been a tremendous blessing to me and my wife tonight.
Amen.
Now we want to be a blessing to you."
Praise.
I said, "Now we're like two ships passing in the night. We'll never meet again." Brother Perry, she perked up and she said, "At least not in this world, but in one to come, we'll meet again." Woo! Amen. And I told her, and I just continued to hold that in her hand. I said, "Now, darling, I want you to let this be a lesson to you." I said, "As long as you live for Jesus, no matter where he leads you to go," because she had told me a lot of things, that she had a lot of plans for life. I said, "No matter where he leads you, he'll always make a way." I said, "Even if he has to bring total strangers into your life, he'll make the way."
Amen.
And as I turned to leave, tears were backing up in her eyes, running down her cheek. Me and my wife were squalling. And I went out into the cool Atlanta air. And let me tell y'all something. I've never been so proud in all of my life to have been kicked out of a Waffle House.
Amen.
Amen. Why, Brother Aaron? Because if I'd never been kicked out of that Waffle House, if the lion and the bear had not come in the first Waffle House, I would not have known the joy of God awaiting me in the next one.
Amen.
All these troubles and trials, they're simply the blessings of God in disguise.
Amen.
Our trick is not to get discouraged with God when the bears and the lions come. And to say, you know what? When everything goes wrong in your life, instead of saying, "Whoa, poor, pitiful me," you need to step back and say, "God must be up to something amazing here."
Amen.
Woo! I can't wait to see what this is going to be. Lord, this has got to be good.
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Sometimes God uses you to be a stream in somebody else's desert.
Right.
I got the blessing. Now I wish I don't wish that. I started to say that wrong. Let me tell you something. That would be good enough if that story ended right there, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a blessing?
Amen.
But it hadn't ended yet. It's still going. Because several times now I've shared this story as I've preached around the country.
Amen.
And you know what? On more than one occasion I've had people and I've had preachers come up to me and put a $100 bill back in my hand.
Amen.
And you know what I've done with it? When they'd bring it in, I'd find me somebody else to give it to. And you know what? It comes back. I give it again. It comes back. And I just made my mind up. That $100 bill's been on a long journey so far. But as long as God keeps giving it back, I'll keep giving it out. Amen. And when he gets ready for it to end, it'll end and not before.
Amen.
Ain't God good?
Amen.
Well, amen. But not only does he make us a stream in the desert, he makes us a shaft or an arrow in his quiver.
Amen.
Isaiah 49:1 says, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye peoples from far. Jehovah hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mothers hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me." Now listen to this. "And he hath made me a polished shaft or arrow in his quiver, hath he kept me close. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Sometimes as we do battle with our lions and our bears, or whatever trouble and trial you want to call it, we feel as though God has placed us on the shelf and has forgotten about us. Amen?
Amen.
But let me tell you something. He's not forgotten about you. He knows exactly who you are. He has not abandoned you, forgotten you, or placed you on the shelf. Now listen to how Isaiah put it. He said, "He's made me a polished shaft, or an arrow in his quiver. He's kept me close. He's kept me close." I got any bow hunters in here? Well, let me tell you about bow hunting. Let me tell you what I know about it. Today, if you decide you want to go bow hunting, you go down to the sporting goods somewhere, store somewhere, and you buy you a bow and an arrow, and you go. Amen? That makes sense, don't it? That wasn't the way it was back in David's day. In David's day, the hunter had to go out and find the limb that or the tree that he would make the bow out of. When he got through making the bow, then he had to make his arrows. Now I want you to follow me on this. He would select the piece of wood. He would then hone it down until it was perfectly round. And when he got through with that honing process, then he would find a rock and hone it until it was perfectly in the shape of an arrow. Then he would attach the rock to the shaft, tie it off with twine, get some feathers somewhere, tie them off onto that arrow. It was a process in making that arrow. You just didn't go buy one, but it was a lengthy process. Now listen, we would think that after he went through all that process of making that arrow, that he would immediately go hunting. And he'd immediately put that arrow in and shoot it. That's what we would think, wouldn't it? But you know, that didn't always happen. The Bible said, David said he put me in his quiver. He put me in the holder with the other arrows. And it was not until the hunter deemed it appropriate that he would then reach back and take his shaft that had been made ready from his quiver, string it in his bow, and let it go.
Amen.
Now, Brother Perry, I want you to stand up right here. Just stand right there. Now, I'm going to run at you, but I ain't going to hurt you, so don't hit me. Now, I'm going to show you how this works, though. Sometimes we feel like in our troubles and trials, God's forgotten us.
Amen.
Because you see, God has uniquely made us and gifted us. But God hadn't forgotten you. He's just got you in his quiver. But there'll come a day, now it may be with Brother Perry Wainwright, the Lord will say, "Brother Perry's got a need, Brother Aaron." He's going to reach back in his quiver, and he's going to put his hand on me, and he's going to go, "Shoot! I like that." And he's going to take me out of the quiver, because I've been uniquely gifted for this. And he's going to put me in his Holy Ghost bow, and he's going to look through the crosshairs of Calvary. Oh, ain't this good? Amen. And he's going to look at Brother Perry's heart, and he's going to say, "All right, Aaron, I've had you in my quiver for a long time. But son, for that need that's in his life, this is what I've made you for." And he's going to let me go. And when he lets me go, I'm not going to fly that way. I ain't going to fly that way. I'm not going to go way over his head. And I'm not going to hit 10 foot in front of him. But you know what? On the power of the Holy Ghost, this is what will happen. I'll go, "Shh."
Boom. Amen.
And right there,
amen,
I'll meet a need that he's got. Amen. Thank you, Brother Perry. God hasn't forgotten you.
Amen.
Amen. He'll make you a stream He sends you a stream in the desert, he'll make you a stream in somebody else's desert.
Amen.
He'll make you a shaft in his quiver.
Amen.
But let me tell you something else as I begin to close this morning. No matter who you are, no matter how big your band line, no matter how dark your night, God always sends songs in the storm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's no night black enough that God can't be there.
Right. Amen.
There's no wind strong enough that He can't find you.
Amen.
Why, He came to the disciples in the midst of the storm, walking on the water. Amen. But I heard a story about a German baron. And a baron is just a fancy word for a rich man. And he had a castle there in Germany on the Rhine River. And it was high on a hill. And there was the valley of the river down below. And there was always a soft, gentle breeze blowing on the hill. The baron decided, he was a music lover, so he got this bright idea. He decided that he would build towers around the four corners of his property, and that he would string them with different size metal wire so that when that gentle breeze blowed through it, it would cause the wire to vibrate and would produce the music of a wind harp, is what he was trying to do. But Brother Pay built the towers, he strung it up, and despite his best efforts, in spite of how many times he torqued, he tightened, he repositioned, he never could make that wind harp produce a melody.
Amen.
With that soft wind that was blowing. But one night, now children of God, see if you've ever been here. One night, the fiercest storm that had ever hit that side of the country hit there. And his castle was the eye of the storm. It was the center point of where that ferocious storm hit. And as he was batting down in his castle, the winds were blowing and howling, and he was right in the teeth of that storm that he walked to his front door, Brother Perry, and he opened the front door. And imagine his surprise that when above the roar of the storm, he heard the melody from the wind harp. You see, why? Because sometimes, bless God, I'm going to run here in a minute. Sometimes it takes a storm in our life to produce enough wind to produce the melody that God wants to come from it. Sometimes you have to face a lion. Sometimes you have to face a bear. Oh, but bless God, when you face some Goliaths, there'll be a melody because you'll know that you're Redeemer lives. It's real. It's true. And then God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Woo! When the sickness comes, when the doctor says it's cancer, when your wife or husband walks in and says, I don't love you anymore, when your children have gone brain dead and are doing things they should not do, when all the world turns against you, listen for the melody, because in the storms of life is where my God produces the melodies.
Amen.
Woo! Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. How many under the sound of my voice today are facing the lions and the bears in your life? Let me tell you something. As I bring this to a close, God will always send streams in your desert.
Amen.
Sometimes He'll use you to be a stream in somebody else's desert. He'll use you as a shaft in His quiver that He's kept close. Ain't forgot you. And when it's time, He'll string you up and let you go. You'll accomplish. David couldn't go to Goliath until it was time.
Amen.
You know what? Goliath wasn't a surprise to God. Brother Perry, I am not the brightest crayon in the box, and I know that. But you know what I do know? There's a lot of things that I don't know. Let me tell you something. There's one thing I do know that didn't happen in heaven. Listen to me, folks. This did not happen in heaven. This did not happen in heaven when David walked out on the battlefield with Goliath, with his five little smooth stones. What didn't happen, brother? This scene in heaven did not happen. You did not see Gabriel the angel come running up to Jehovah God's throne and say, "Oh, Jehovah, you're not going to believe this. That little rotten of a boy that you've anointed, he's out there with a slingshot and five rocks going against Goliath. You just ain't going to believe that." You know what didn't happen? God didn't slap his knee and say, "Oh, sure enough, you don't mean it."
Amen.
That didn't happen. You know why? Woo! Because God knew who was going to take Goliath down from the foundation of the world. He said, "I got a little shaft that's been in my quiver. I've been holding him on the backside of nowhere with a flock of sheep. I sent a lion. He got honed with a lion. I sent a bear. He got honed with a bear. Gabriel, he's ready. Just watch him, Gabriel. Just watch him." And he took that little rock. Shoo, 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 shoo. Woo! Let it go. And it flew and hit him right smack down between the eyes. I believe, Brother Perry, knocked him out cold as a milkshake. Woo! And David came up, took Goliath's sword, cut his head off, and that's where rock and roll was invented. David rocked him and his head rolled. Amen. Woo! Amen. But because there had been a lion and a bear, he was ready when Goliath come. Can't you see him? "Come here, big boy. Got something for you. And if your four brothers anywhere around, got something for them too."
Amen.
He didn't back up. He didn't cut to the side. He didn't half step. He didn't stutter.
Amen.
He went in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
How could he do that? Because the lions and bears had come into his life.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something now. And I'm about to head to my seat. When those storms come, if you'll listen close enough, above the howl of it all, you'll hear the sweet melody of the songs of Jesus.
Amen.
You might be looking into the eyes of divorce. You might be looking dead into the teeth of bankruptcy. You may be looking into the claws of cancer. Oh, you might have experienced the pangs of death. But I believe if you'll just listen close enough, that you'll be like that old professor one day. There was a professor who was given a theological seminar to a bunch of seminary students, and this big professor was well world known. He had traveled the world. He was a very, very smart man, Brother Perry. And after he got through with the lecture, he was doing question and answer time. And one of the students spoke up and said, "Professor, with all your travels and all your studies all around the world," said, "tell me, please, what is the greatest theological truth you've ever learned? And where did you learn it at?" The old professor kind of smiled, and a tear began to run down his cheek. And he told that body, he said, "The greatest theological lesson I've ever learned, I learned at my mama's knee. And it was simply this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." I'm telling you something. I'm about to get raptured here, brother. I don't know what your lion or what your bear may be. I don't know what's causing the storm clouds to gather into your life. But I do know this: regardless of how fierce they're blowing, if you'll just tune an ear and you'll listen somewhere above the roar of the storm, you'll hear a Savior saying, "Jesus, I love you. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so."
Amen. Amen.
Right. Ain't God good?
Amen.
Now, I don't know what you're facing this morning. But I know God is faithful and just. Would you bow your heads with me? Now, I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any sort of way. Will not even mention anything you say to me unless you first bring it up. All I want to do is pray with you. I wonder how many in this place, again, I'm not going to embarrass you, not coming to you. How many in this place right now would say, Brother Aaron, I've got some bears and lions in my life. Some of you are going to probably say, ooh, Brother Aaron, they got me circled up. The bears and the lions in my life. And being that bear, that lion can be any trouble or trial that you want to put on it. Or any heartache. But I wonder right here this morning, how many by an uplifted hand would say, Brother Aaron, pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. Hands are going up all over this building. The lions and the bears are in my life. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Praise God. Would there be anybody in this place, and I'm going to pray in just a moment, say, Brother Aaron, I don't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Would you pray for me that I'll meet Him before it's too late? Would there be anybody? As they come with a song, Brother Perry comes around, as I pray, I want you to purpose in your heart today to just obey God. Now, Father, I come to you, Lord, and I've done what I felt that you wanted me to do today, Lord, this morning. Now, Father, I pray you'd take this sermon and that you'd multiply it in our hearts and enlarge it, God. Now, Lord, there's been many hands raised in this building. And Lord, I pray for every hand that I know, God, that it's not just a hand that's lifted, but there's a situation behind that lifted hand, God. And I pray, Father, whatever the name of that lion or that bear is, God, that you'd be precious in that situation right now, God. And God, that you'd be strong and that you'd encourage your children. God, you'd put your arms around them wherever they're at right now, God. And you'd hold them close to you. And God, you'd make a way where there is no way. God, that you would take the impossible and make it possible. The undoable and make it doable, God. God, I pray for the manifestation of your Spirit in this place today. In every hand in life. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I go to my seat, I encourage you, as we stand and sing, to come take your pastor by the hand. If you can't get to him, get to me. The altar's open. Maybe you just need to get in the altar and pray. You come do what God would have you to do today. Sing, my brother. Hallelujah. Let God have His way. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There are branches. Altar's open, people. Is God speaking to you this morning? If God's speaking to you this morning, come. Come now. Come now. Come now. Would, while the pianist just continues to play, heads bowed, eyes closed. God's dealing in your life right now. I want to ask you and encourage you right now. Just step out, come down to an old-fashioned altar. Settle your peace with God this morning. Maybe there's a lion and a bear that you need to deal with. Only you can do it. Through the power of God. Won't you come? Won't you come? The gospel has been preached. The invitation is being extended. What will you do with what you've heard today? What will you do with it? It's your decision. If God's dealing with your heart and with your life, don't put Him off. Be clean before Him today. Be clean today. Would you come? Brother Perry.
Got a line in your life today, and you know what he said, he explained it to us, what it means. And if you got one, don't leave this place until God touches you and hits you with it.
Amen.
He will. All you got to do is to come and to ask.
Amen.
Accept him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Are you living that life he contributed to? I ask you today. You heard the message this morning. How true it is. As you will, you got an opportunity. You still got an opportunity. The house is not closed. It won't be closed. Even though we go out a narrow way to our home, prepare to come back tonight and to be with us. Be with Brother Ed. I want you to pray for
him. Amen.
Pray to God for another message like we heard this morning.
Amen.
To assure us that there is a way, and that way is only Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Will you? Do we have any announcements or anything to be made?
I got a hold of Southern Magistrate. They come in. When we have our